G'day, Snappers, and welcome to the Sunday Snap, coming to you through the SC Ballers feed. This is the podcast where we give our snap reactions to the NRL Supercoach round that was. My name's Jono, coach of the Haas Beans, and with me to talk about all the big news coming out of round 10 is coach of Tubes' Pods. Tubes, how you going, mate?
Yeah, good, Jono. Your Tubes has grown 1.3 times each week, I reckon, since you've started scoring 1,600 plus every week.
The bigger the score, the bigger the Tubes, I think, is going to be the new rule. If I ever just give it a quick Tubes, you know, it's been a bad week.
So big week for you, I'm guessing. Oh, I know, but Captain Pappenhausen?
Pappenhausen. I was on Pappenhausen and he absolutely exploded today, didn't he? It was one of those ones where I was watching. He was on 88 points after 17 minutes and I was like, all right, this has been a good decision. So very happy. I actually didn't feel like my team was going that well, to be honest, outside until that happened. And then obviously Munster went big as well. So finished strong. I tell you what, Chiefs, it went a lot better than my Mother's Day form this evening. I've had a good Supercoach run and a disastrous finish to Mother's Day. I've done the right things today. I've cooked a nice breakfast for my wife and the mother-in-law. Sent her out to the movies this afternoon. Said I'll take the kids. And then when she got home, we were all dressed in nice clothes, ready to go out for dinner. Got the kids all ready to go. Standing at the door as the surprise comes in, she was almost like almost had a little tear in the eye at the kids being in the nice clothes. Said we're going out for dinner. Surprise. Got to the restaurant, local Indian place. I was almost laughed out of the restaurant for not having a booking.
Is it a thing? I didn't even know. Wouldn't have known that.
I think on Mother's Day
dinner is a thing.
Yeah, seriously, almost laughed out of the restaurant. So it was just a disaster. I was like, oh, might be takeout instead, babe. So we sat at home and had a nice takeout this evening in our nice clothes.
I reckon you've told that whole story. It's like a backhanded compliment to yourself. Like,
how?
I'm just going to pump myself up. Just all these little things that I've done and then this one little mistake, which I think the listeners will forgive.
A shocking mistake.
Nah, that's fine. I think you're flying.
How'd you go Supercoach-wise, Tubes?
Yeah, I won't go into my Mother's Day antics. I'll leave that behind. I've had a very good round, but I did not captain Pappenhausen. So it's left me a little bit feeling a bit sore and sorry for myself. But I've had a 1593 pre-updates without captaining Pappenhausen.
You are kidding. I've also how good that is.
I've held Brimson and he sat on the bench as a non-playing reserve, and so he's gone tunned up as well. So I've had a big week with my squad, but just a couple of wrong decisions has cost me over 150 points. So I'm pondering things at the moment. A bit different to normal weeks though, where my team just doesn't perform well and it doesn't matter who I picked anyway. So I suppose different excuses this week.
Yeah, but still a crazy score. Like, is there going to be a better score out there of someone who doesn't have Captain Ryan Pappenhausen this week? You might have topped the whole list of people who didn't captain him. It was tremendous, 1593.
It's not really.
Probably still.
Yeah.
That's a backhand.
It's not helping. Yeah. That's you forgetting the booking.
It's similar. Before we get into our rage trades and our review of the weekend, a couple of plugs. Still time to join the SC Ballers Unlimited League, where there are $5,000 in cash prizes up for grabs. League code is 730444. That's 730444. And Tubes, we were talking about it pre-pod. Good little community building in the SC Ballers chat room that you can find in the Unlimited League. A lot of people posting questions, helping each other out. You, Matt, and myself try and jump in there from time to time and answer people's questions as well. But there's a nice little community in there, isn't there?
There is. There's just too many to shout them all out, but I'd say 100%. You're becoming a fan favorite with your replies, and you're racking up the usage stats on the Supercoach app, I reckon, recently. So the Telegraph would be loving you.
Yeah, getting a lot of clicks at the moment. And not for people getting clicks, from me physically clicking myself as kids getting the clicks up. The website, baller.live, still absolutely flying. Fastest Supercoach website out there for live updates and catching up with minutes and everything. If you're not using it, you're kidding yourself. And a new feature this week that's become, it's kind of been speculated upon. I know Matt and the boys at Baller Towers have been putting a bit of work into it. It's now out there every week, after every day's games. They're putting out on social media, all over TikTok, Instagram, X. They're putting out the price rises that the players are getting immediately after the games and their BE projections for next week, which is very, very valuable for anyone who doesn't have Supercoach Gold. As you can see, those break evens for next week immediately.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Just nice little, there's just still more to come. Like, it's just nice it feels like every 2 weeks at the moment something new drops. And even on a Thursday night, that baller projection hour of power is going off on X. So it's, yeah, and the projections are just so much, like, they feel so much more valid than what you get in that Supercoach Gold as well. So they're being well received.
Oh, they're definitely better than not the break-even projections. You're talking about the score projections coming into a round.
Yeah.
Night and day from the Supercoach Gold one. Just feels like they throw a dart at a board and pick a number. Whereas there's actually a lot of well thought out reasoned science going into the baller one. So it's great to see.
Look, we'll get into it, but it still hasn't nailed Greg Marju for the last few weeks, but I'm sure we'll discuss that when we get to it.
There's a smile back on your face. Nice to see, Tubes. Let's remove all smiles and let's start off with our angriest segment of the show. It's time for the rage trade.
Are you little?
Tubes, who do you think is a good rage trade option this week?
Yeah, I think, as I mentioned, I had quite a good week, so I don't have much to rage trade. I'm sick of talking about Kalen Ponga. He'll be out of my team for round 12, as I think he will be most super coaches, so I won't be rage trading him this week. So I've gone someone that I actually sold well before I should have. But I think he should be a rage trade now for those that still own him, and that's Tamale from the Raiders. When he has a bad game, he just has a bad game. He just doesn't really seem to get involved. He's had 35 on the weekend. We know that the people inside him can be a little bit glue hands. He's had 14 points in tackle busts alone.
In a 35?
Only gotten 35. Yeah, that's so that shows where his base outside of the tackle breaks is. I just think I think that with how good the centre wing is looking, whether you have Lucas in there, Sharp, Herbie, Karaz, or Connor Tracy, for those that like the pod play out there, I just think you can't hold on to Tamale much longer. He's got break even in the 70s now. It's time to go.
Yeah, and look, he's going to be valued at around 560K after this round. So it's actually not a bad little jump up. Like, I think, Tubes, you probably sold him for 100K less a couple of weeks back. So those who did hold on that extra little bit, we've squeezed a bit more juice out of the orange, and now it's not very hard to jump up to some of those keepers, which is nice. So I do agree with you.
It's not really, you won't feel ragey trading him. You'll be shaking his hand and giving him a good reference onto the next club. Well done.
Yeah, it's a little logic trade. Thanks for the good memories, mate. But yeah, like you said, Chips, we've been saying it for a few weeks. He needs an early try. If he's an early try, his base would have been huge. But it's just a bit weird the way he goes about his business. Had a pretty bored defensive game too, actually, Tamale. So it wasn't his best. Chips, my rage trade, we're kind of swapping roles here. My rage trade is someone that I traded out a few weeks ago and you held. It's Shibasaki, young GI. I noticed, Tubes, it was very clear to me coming onto the record the pod tonight, your young GI shirt's not being worn. You've got back some other grey, I don't know what that shirt is. Is that an Audi shirt?
This is Audi jumper. Better, different, better, whatever, better, different. Yeah.
Random.
It's my Sunday night grey sweats.
whatever it isn't a young GI shirt. And to me, that's a sign that you're done with young GI. If he had have had a big score, there's no way you weren't coming in hot wearing that. He's had a 34 on the weekend. He's going to lose around 10K. His break-even's going to be up in the 70s. Is it time to say goodbye, Tubes? Because I think it might be.
No, I think he's a hold. I mean, he's literally had 40 points in pure base. And it was basically a monsoon that second half, and he still was looking to offload. They've got the Dragons next week, very playable option option there. I think he goes up against Moses Sully, so he'll have a field day there. And then he plays the all-important mini bye round 13 against Manly, and then he has the Gold Coast Titans. So I'm at least holding him for another four rounds, I'd say.
All right, nice. Well, let's.
I have dropped off season long keeper though. To be fair,
okay, like
just from that.
Until he goes 100 against the Dragons, and then he's back to being a season long keeper.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's get onto our round review tube. Starting off the first game of the round. I hate Thursday night footy games where I don't own any players, and that was how I felt about this one. It just makes it so much less enjoyable to watch. But someone who did find it enjoyable is the 30% of the top 10% who own Herbie Farmarth. He had 84 points with an unbelievable solo try from inside his own half. His hit-ups were a little bit down for now the third week in a row. His base hasn't been as strong as what it usually is. And because of that, even with all these tries he's scoring, his price is going to stay around the same, break even in the 70s. So for anyone who hasn't jumped on Herbie yet, he's not getting away from us. What are your thoughts, Tubes? I don't think you are a Herbie Farmworth owner just yet. Is he someone you're interested in bringing in?
He is. 729K is just tough. He's had three good scores in a row, but I feel like they've all been with tries. Like
they have.
I always sort of saw him being such a good base man that if he scores, especially with a line break, he goes close to a ton. So it's a little bit of a pause. Only because if he was 100K cheaper, I'd say he's a must bring in. You're not complaining being an owner, but just with so many to target over the buy period, he's right up there at the premium end.
Yeah. And I think that I bet the week he doesn't score a try, he's basically right back up there. He'll probably get 68 in pure base plus power as well. But, yeah, he's definitely still on my radar. I'm not definitely going to get him, but I want to. That's really it from the Finns that are overly relevant. They're almost the most relevant Supercoach team this year, at least presently. Iyongi for the Eels, he had an 83. He's still 31% owned in the top 10%. Two try assists and frustratingly, Tubes, he's only averaging just under Ponga for the year by like 2 points. So I still think there's going to be a time pretty soon for those people to move on, hopefully to Teddy, if that's what they're doing. He's going to make them a little bit more cash and get them a little bit closer. Dillbags had 68 points with a try and a line break. He was going terribly until the last 10 minutes. I won't call him junk points because the game was still on the line, but he really did a lot of heavy lifting in the last 10. His break even and his price are pretty much bang on for what his production's been so far. Do you think there's a case to say he's undervalued with Moses back around, Tubes?
No, I don't think so. I think, as you said, for some reason he's drifting in and out of games. He was on... was he on like 8, 17 or 18 with like 20 to go? It was...
Yeah.
So...
less than that. Yeah.
I can't see you bringing him in at 600K, and we'll get to the likes of Jaden Campbell, who's gone 90, looking half injured. So I think there's a few options at 5'8 that aren't Dylan Brown.
I think there's a few who might look at him for halfback, Tubes. I actually think he'll end up being less popular at 5'8 because of LKT, the new king of Cogra. And Jaden Campbell. Well, actually, there'll be people who might look at him as a Cleary downgrade because he is dual. So that's where I think he becomes a bit more interesting. And there might be some people who own him at 5'8 who might flip him up to halfback and bring in one of those guys you mentioned. So, yeah, I agree there's better options at 5'8, but he might be worthwhile as a discussion point from a halfback perspective. I don't know. Not feeling it?
610K, I suppose. I don't know. I sort of like your man, Icat, from this game a little even better than Dillbags if I was picking one of the two. I don't know.
Yeah, true. I'll tell you one I know you don't like, Tubes, and the Ricks family just don't seem to like this guy. Yourself, Matt, Danny Boy, not fans of Riley Smith. You're not joining the fan club anytime soon. He ended up with 60 points from 52 tackles. He was brought in by over 9,000 super coaches this week. Matt was talking about on the Tuesday pod about Brendan Hands. He's back in the reserves. I completely was confused when he was talking about that, because Brendan Hands has been playing reserve grade for 5 weeks. He had an injury in reserve grade and was back to reserve grade this weekend. So it's not like he was injured and missing out from first grade from that perspective. Not too concerned about that. Look, he's gone 37 and 50 in these two previous games since getting a start, a 60 this week. He's going to go up 35K with a low break even. Would I have brought him in? No, I would have done enough, like going instead. But for the people who have, pretty happy tubes.
Yeah, they should be. 53 tackles is a lot of tackles. Yeah, so he's done that without any real attacking stats. So, yeah, well done to owners. But, I mean, it still feels like a trade that you've made to not play in a week where, you know, you just to not have enough, or sorry, have an AE. I decided not to make a trade at hooker, and my AE was Hubner, who got 50. So beaten by 10 points, I suppose, just whether or not that's worth the trade or not.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, my AE was King Tongia, who had 33, which is the same as Ponga. Actually, so either one of them were my lowest scorer. And I would have rather get 60, but I'm glad I didn't trade to do that for 27 points. But yeah, well done. I'm happy not doing it still. The Knights versus the Titans was one of the most relevant games of the round. I actually saw Tube, some people, a guy on TikTok talking about it was the worst two first games of actual footy to start around so far this year. And to that bloke, I was thinking, you should play Supercoach, because this Knights versus Titans game is an absolute banger, probably my most anticipated. The Titans got the job done. And yeah, your man, Tubes, you mentioned at the top of the show, AJ Brimpod, AJ Brimson, 102 points, two tries, looking very, very dangerous the entire game. Does it make you reconsider him as a playable option? Do you now put him in next week, or is that chasing last week's points?
I've played him other weeks. The reason I didn't play him this week is, I just thought the Knights have actually been defending quite well. I definitely think he's a playable option on matchup. I just didn't think that this was the right matchup for him. They do have a pretty tough run coming up, though. They've got Raiders into Storm into the Broncos. Storm off the back of Origin. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, that's just a bit of a tricky run. So I don't think I'll have him as a playable option. Still interested to see what happens when Foran comes back, because I do think De Groot's been one of their better players, but I do think that their team will be better with Brimson at fullback and Foran in the side.
Yeah. I agree with all that, Tubes. One I want to just give a quick shout out to is Phil Sammy had 111 with two tries. He's an OG Tubes as Pods man. Phil Sammy, you brought him up.
He was very early selected in the draft for me, and he's done a job this week.
And all year,
and
really.
I've shout out to the Rock Barton Angels that I've played in the draft league this week, and just given them a nice touch up, 725 to 560. And Philip Sammy was a big contributor to that.
What about he's owned by seven coaches in the top 10% Tubes? It's down to 0.0%, but it's technically seven coaches own Phil Sammy. And we're cheering home that big 111 for their super pod this week.
I reckon I've owned him every year for the last 3 years, and I reckon there's a chance I do at some point this year. Not now. They've got such a hard run coming up, but there'll be a point. I love that he keeps getting named in the centres and then starts on the wing every match. It's just so good.
Yeah. Jaden Campbell, big return this week, way earlier than people expected. He had 86 with a try assist. It was a great try assist in the first half there that he got. He didn't look 100%, did he, Tubes? But he was still probably their most threatening player in attack outside of Brimo. And to me, assuming he gets through this game all fit and is good to go, there's no lingering issues from the injury, he just looks like a must purchase for the buy period. You've got to get him into your team.
Yeah, but I don't think you have to get him in till round 15 buy. As I said, tough few games coming up. They don't play the round 12 buy. So I think they play the Broncos round 14, and then I think you're looking to him as a target after that, from round 15, where they play the Sea Eagles, and then they play round 16 and round 19 as those mini buys. So I think he's a must have for 15.
Nice. Big Tino for us, Suamalawe, had 98 points. Interestingly, his last 2 weeks have shown his biggest minutes of the year. He started off like, he's obviously coming back from that injury. So ramping up the minutes, this week was the first time he'd gone 70 plus minutes. He had 70 points in base and player, base plus power. He just looked unbelievable all game. And the last 2 weeks have kind of shown that maybe he deserves to be in that captaincy chat, the same as Terrell May and Payne Haas.
Yeah, I think so. He's when they get a bit more free flowing, he's actually quite creative as well. Like, he's had 2 line break assists this week. Last week he put in a kick, didn't he, for a try? Like, he's got base and power, but he's also got a bit of flair. Definitely captaincy option, but yeah, obviously Origin on the horizon. You're just holding over that period.
Yeah, and the last Titan worth mentioning is Bo Fermor. I've been up and about with Bo the last couple of weeks. We scored doubles both games. He got 59, and the reason I want to talk about him, Jules, is because he could be hurt. The Bo Leavers could be in strife. He copped a big shot to the ribs from KP with about 10 minutes to go. Didn't look good, but he played through. Happy to see that upgrade to 59. But his break-even is now up into the 80s after this one, so interesting decisions to be made for the Bo Leavers, particularly if he makes Origin.
Yeah, so he upgraded from 45 to 59 with nothing, like no line break, no line break assist. They just found 14 points to look after the Bo Leavers and I guess tackle breaks and offloads, which he's not noted for. But anyway, well done. Not too bad. We'll see how it goes. I think he'll be fine. He'll play through. I really think Origin's the biggest barrier for the Bo Leavers.
Yeah, it's the only thing that can stop us, I think, is Origin. Probably a significantly more relevant option who's a dual second row forward instead of him is Dylan Lucas. He had 89 points with a try. He was traded in by nearly 12,000 this week. Tubes, you were one of them. How good was it to watch him cross for an early soft try just so he'd made the right decision with Lucas?
Off Fletcher Sharp as well, who was the other trade-in. So it was a nice start to the game. He basically did what he always does, except also scored a try, which was good to see. Fletcher Sharp, as I said, he set that up. He also scored one of his typical tries, I think, sort of backing up or just being around the ball. So he's had an 89 in an otherwise disappointing Knights outfit, realistically.
Yeah. One that you weren't disappointed about was Tubes, Greg Marju. He had 60 points with an assist, and he had a bit of a knee-on-knee contact injury and had to come from the field. He tried to play through it for about 10 to 15 minutes. Eventually succumbed to it, came off the field. The commentators were talking about he's been, like, pulled, like, no injury, just been hooked, but that was not true at all. Knee injury, he's gone for scans. We'll have to wait to see what happens there. But, Greg Marju owners might be trading him out soon at 670K. So they've made a bit of money on him, but might be time to go pretty soon, depending on the results of those scans.
I know he wasn't hooked, but there's got to be a chance that he gets dropped. Like, every week I'm shocked when someone finally, when people bomb him, like, consistently, like the Titans did and a few weeks ago someone else did. I just don't understand how teams don't do it every single week. It's basically, if they do that, he will drop 2 to 3, maybe more balls. So it's just such a liability to have at the back for all the positives that he does bring.
Yeah, but James Schiller's the other winger. Like, if Dom Young comes in, but he can't tackle. Like, his defensive reads are way worse than what Marju's are. He's a terrible defender, Schiller. I mean, I'm not saying Marju's a gun defender.
Yeah, come on, buddy. Sorry, the defensive minded Marju.
Noted defensive weapon, Greg Marju. Yeah. I don't want to talk about Kalen Ponga for too long. He had 33 points, 16 of those came in goals. He was actually traded in by 4,000 coaches this week. And I'm just disappointed that we're not going to be getting that last minute price increase we wanted before Origin Tubes. The most I've been looking forward to trading out a player in a very, very long time in Supercoach.
Yeah. I think basically it's him to Teddy in round 12. It's just unfortunately we're going to have to find like 350K to do so.
At least.
What otherwise thought earlier in the season could have been a straight swap.
The next game of the round was the Rabbitohs versus the Broncos, which the Rabbitohs won under pretty funny circumstances. Trell, at the heart of it, he had 84 points. Just with a try, that is the definition of junk. I hate when people throw out the term junk points when the game's still on the line, but that was literally the most junky try I've ever seen in Supercoach history. Basically, fake to surrender. The Broncos walk away and dives over the try line, ends up with 84 points. He's going to be under 600K now, and his break-even's going to be in the high 80s. Obviously, you just can't touch him at the moment because Origin's coming up, but if he could stay around that mark, how good is he going to be to get Trell after the Origin period?
Yeah. I sort of want to get him next week. Is there any chance he plays another position in round 12? I know he'll be in Origin, but did he end up playing enough games anywhere to get Trell?
Never played three, played two at 5'8", one at centre. So he never actually played enough in any of them to get that dual position.
He's just such a big momentum guy, Trell. Like, he would have loved last week. Like, I know you can't get him because he's going to be out round 12 in Origin. Don't get me wrong. But I'd love to own him going up against the Tigers next Sunday afternoon, just playing them. And it was a very Latrell. It was junk, but it was also very on brand for Latrell to kick a 50-meter field goal and then do that sneak over try at the end when the game's over and celebrate like it was the match winner. It was glorious.
Yeah, he celebrated more for the junk try than he did for the 50-meter field goal. He just
loved being sneaky. It
was so good for the Broncos. Ben Hunt had a hamstring tear, so he's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. Tubes, completely unrelated note. I had to think about it. I will take that stake bet about Dearden to play 14 over Ben Hunt. Nothing related to anything I just said, but I will take the bet. Thank you for throwing that one out there last week. Is that still on?
Oh, bit different odds now that he's torn the hamstring off the bone. might be out for, I think 6 weeks would be minimum, but I'm no physio. Bit of a tough one, poor Ben Hunt. It'll be now Tommy Dearden versus Billy Walters for that 14 jersey, I think.
So bet on? You taking it?
No, I'll leave that. I don't have enough faith in Kevy's pull in the Queensland system at the moment.
Payne Haas, 89 points in 62 minutes. It somehow still feels a little bit disappointing when he gets an 89, which is just crazy because it shows how good he's going. Well, he didn't get 100 this week. Piakura is very interesting, Tubes. He had 62 points with over 55 points in base plus power. He's now gone back-to-back 80-minute games, and that's with Xavier Willison and Ricky both in the lineup. He's going to be available for a touch over 305K. He's got a big negative break even. He could be a massive downgrade option for some of these second-row forwards. It's a great price if you can keep that 80-minute role.
Yeah, for sure. It's a tricky one, though, like because they don't play the round 12 bye. You probably want to – means that you can probably have another look at it for another week, and then, yeah, he could be a really good option from round 13 onwards.
Would you still want him at 400K, though, if you wait that extra week? If he comes out and gets a 70, he's going to be, nearly 400K. Would you still want him then?
What'd you say he's going to be this week? 300 and something?
305-ish with a negative 20-odd break even.
Don't know. It's a tough one. I mean, it feels worth the extra 80K to see him play another 80 minutes. I suppose it just depends. Although, just talking about it there, Hubner down to him. Feels pretty good, although Hubner's had a 50 in this game in the end as well, so you're probably not selling him. So it might be like a Thomas Cant down to him for 100K. There's a few options, I suppose.
Yeah, there's also Matty Nicholson, who we'll talk about in the next game as well, but he went down with an injury too, so there is some options there. Let's get to that game now then, Tuesday. We'll start with Matty Nicholson. He had 50 points. a try contribution was his only attacking stat, but he went down right near the end of the game. He's got a potential syndesmosis injury that they're going to check him for scans with. So if that comes good, he's gone. He wasn't able to weight bear properly at the end of the game. So he is going to be around 560K off the top of my head. So he would be a great downgrade option. But then there's also another couple of good ones we can talk about too. Is that a clear sell, Nicholson Tubes? I know you've already got rid of him.
I never bought him. It was a bad miss for me to not ever have. But yeah, I think obviously NRL Physio or the Magic Sponge podcast will be the one to go to for the updates. But by the sounds of it, he's gone. Like, so he'll be another one that, you know, it's his time was up and people will be happy to sell him and looking for those downgrade options to make cash, or it's not that far up to a gun. He's done very well.
Yeah.
But shame for the Raiders, but yeah.
Well, they got plenty of depth in the forwards, but yeah. Joe Tarpanay for the Raiders, unbelievable. He had 90 points, all in base plus power in only 60 minutes of play. His price isn't going to go up too much. He'll go up a little bit. He's still going to be available around 720, 730K. I'd just love to own Tarpany. It's just hard with all these other gun front rowers going so well. Is he one, Tubes, you consider trading a Tino or a Payne Haas out to come Origin time?
No, I'm not trading either of those for him. It would only be one of those back rowers. So a Matty Nicholson to Tarpanay via like a Tino, a Jewel, something like that.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely in the conversation because Tino, I think, has to sit in people's back rows. Given you got May, Haas in the front row. And then, yeah, Tarpany could easily come into the conversation. The back rowers just aren't having big years, but the front rowers are killing it.
Yeah. It's, yeah, normally the least relevant position in Supercoach, that and hooker, but this year, not at all. Hardy Young had 86 points with a try. The Young supplement still doing their job for him. He looked very big and strong. Chiefs, interesting. You don't reckon he's going to play Origin. You're out on Hudson Young for Origin. Does that make him a pod consideration for you?
Yeah, for sure. I'm not completely sold he doesn't make Origin, but that's sort of what... Yeah, I don't think it's worth the risk, though, to go him early. But if he doesn't get picked for round 12, then he is a massive option over that bye period for sure.
The roller coaster ride that it's been for Tom Starling owners, they're back up on the exciting part of the roller coaster. 76 points with a try assist. He actually played the full 80 minutes for the first time this year. Rumors he's re-signed with the Raiders for a few more years as well during the week. There was all this chat that he was gone, and that's why they were going to try and fade out Alan Paddy. But he's re-signed, played 80 minutes. Must feel pretty good to be a Tom Starling owner right now.
And I wasn't watching. I was listening on ABC Sports, which was interesting. Hadn't done that for a while. But he also scored a try, didn't he? And it came back. Somehow they didn't call double movement, but they called that he was tackled and then scored. And then they gave it, it went up a try. It got pulled back as a no try. And then they just let him play the ball. So I don't know, work that one out.
Yeah, I guess owners still have something to be dirty with, but the overall result is a good one. Onto the doggies, Tubes, Crichton. Stephen Crichton, you gave him a big push last week. He ended up with 104 points with a try and a try assist. And I probably think he played the best 40 minutes of his footy career in that second half. Absolutely unbelievable. Got to be pretty happy with that. Another Tubes little pod play, or a pod call, not a pod play, comes off.
Yeah, pod call. I couldn't bring him in with Origin looming. I think my call, though, was that I think he's potentially a run-home guy after the Origin period. So... I wouldn't mind if he stopped getting hundreds and maybe came in a bit cheaper, but that really just shows what he can do. Like kicking goals, but he is just an absolute weapon. The way he runs, I just love him with the football in his hand. Like he's definitely an attacking threat. Like it feels like he's an underrated attacking threat, like for how good he is.
Oh, definitely. He definitely is. Tubes, I want to give you the lead here. Take us through your two pods that you both own who absolutely killed it this week.
Yeah, it was. It's been good. So I brought in Connor Tracy last week for 117 and an 87 this week with two assists. I don't know what he goes up to. He's 582K. I imagine he's jumping up a little bit. They still don't have a bad run, the Dogs, and they've got a very nice buy schedule, which was the main reason that I brought in Tracy. So nice for him to average 100 over the last 2 weeks for me. And the other man I needed to go well, like I've been waiting for it. He's had a low couple of weeks, is Billy Kicks. Kick out 99 with a try and an assist. But I felt confident Burton back in the team. For those that are looking at him for this week, Burton back in the team is massive. Basically means their attack goes a bit more to the left. And Kikau just runs that sweeping play. Bronson Cherry just runs that sort of unders line. And Kikau, like you saw on the weekend, he threw a dummy off that sort of sweeping play, scored a try, and then had an assist elsewhere as well. So, yeah, pretty happy. Obviously could help contribute to my good score this week.
When they run that play you were describing, Tubes, and to your credit, you'd called that a few times about how that was the thing that was going to happen. You're not just calling that this week off the back of it. You had kind of predicted that and noticed it. It looks unstoppable. Like when he's in that position, it is like what centre is equipped to tackle Billy Kikau in that position? It just looks like a guaranteed try or try assist every single time, because the first time the winger jammed in to help and that just led to a quick flick out. The second time the winger didn't jam in and Kikau just palmed off the center and ran straight through. So it just seems if they can work that and get him in that position, it's going to be huge points for him. Your pod plays there are coming off beautifully. Well done. Love to see it, Tubes.
Hopefully they can keep it going.
I do say, I've said it before and I'll say it again, Monday to Wednesday, Tubes is the best Supercoach player in all of Supercoach. There's no one better. It's just that pesky Thursday to Sunday, Tubes. That little pest, Tubes, from Thursday to Sunday, who does things like taking the captaincy off Ryan Pappenhausen and putting it on to Nathan Cleary 2 minutes before kickoff. That's the guy we need to get rid of. He's my rage trade, actually. Yeah. I take it back. I'm rage trading out Thursday to Sunday, Tubes. Monday to Wednesday.
When I made the call, I wanted Pappenhausen as my captain, like on the pod earlier this week, then I was looking at it going, oh, geez, I really wish they weren't playing on Sunday. Like, am I going to make it to Sunday? Like it's just a different, I play Supercoach. Obviously you play to win, but I play it because it makes my enjoyment of watching NRL much more. And I was sitting back on Saturday night, not doing much, wanted to watch the NRL game and really wanted to enjoy captaining Cleary. It was obviously the wrong decision. But I stand by it. And I enjoyed that Cowboys-Panthers game.
I stand by it for all our listeners. Is if Tube says something during the Sunday snap with a nice clear head, or he says it on the Tuesday pod, listen. But then, yeah, don't listen if he starts going on social media.
No late mail.
You're not a late male, man. The last one from the Dogs is Jacob Kiraz. He had 78 points with a late try. I actually think tries could become more regular for him with how good Crichton's going. If they're going to make him more usage and more of a weapon, he looks unstoppable. And he set up Kiraz for a few now over the last couple of weeks. Jacob Kiraz brought in by nearly 8,000 super coaches this week. So well done. I'm sure those who were umming and ahhing about it, he's still an Origin threat. But you'd feel pretty good after that first game with that 78. Chiefs, let's get on to our Ready to Explode segment. Who have you got for us?
Oh, so mine is actually another Dogs player. So we obviously, last week I did Crichton and I've obviously got, as I just went through, I've got Tracy and I've got Kikau. So I'm bringing in another Dogs player, and that's Bronson Cherry. So he was priced at just over 600K this week, but he had a break-even of 111, and he's had a 50. So he's going to drop a fair amount of cash. I just think that the Dogs run that they've got is still quite nice, as I've said. So they've got the Roosters next week into the Dolphins on the bye. Then they play Para and Souths in round 14 and 15. So they And then they also do play in the round 18 and the 19 mini buy. So they play all three major buy rounds. Cherry coming into this week has basically just been doing base plus power, had a very bad quiet game against the Titans. As I said, with Burton out of the team, that left edge just wasn't getting as much ball. With Burton back in the team, more ball going to that left edge. I think Cherry with that run coming up, as much as I hate to say it, as I talked about him after he scored a double against the Sharks and got 99 in round four, that I didn't enjoy looking at him going off against Sharks fans. But I just think that he's ready to explode from a Supercoach point of view over the next few weeks, and he could be a nice little pod play.
Not my favourite one, Tubes, of yours this year. I think he's a bit of a Teemu Bradman best, actually. And one of those guys who we're going to look at the end of the year, he's going to be like the 21st best centre wing in Supercoach in terms of average. As a pod, sure, and you can hope he goes in a bit of a run because players can have it in him. But I think it is a little bit of a let's hope he goes in a run guy.
Yeah, it's hard, Jono. Like, all my pods have been exploding, so it's hard to come up with a ready-to-explode this week. That was all.
All right, well, I think I've got one, Tubes. My ready-to-explode player is Keon Kolomatangi. He was actually in my little black book last week, and I've upgraded him because, in the words of Calvin Candy from Django Unchained, Keon, you had my curiosity, but now you've got my attention. He had 73 points, all in base plus power, in 73 minutes. To me, just as a Rabbitohs fan, he's just a better footy player when he plays in the middle of the field. He can't wait for the game to come to him. He just gets in there, he takes it up, he's tackling everything. I think he plays easily his best football there. Evidence of that last year was he averaged 76 in 10 games playing lock for Souths in 72 minutes per game. So he also has attacking upside. He scored a bunch of tries in that period as well to go with his great work ethic. He's going to be available for around 570K this week. He will get dual if he continues to be named at prop for Souths. The negatives are that I don't think he gets dual before round 12 because he will only have played two games at prop. They do it going into round 12, I believe. So we won't have the chance to see that. So it'll be round 18, I believe, is the last time they do those changeover positions. Another negative is the Rabbitohs do miss round 12, but they play 15 and 18, and they play both the 13 and 16 mini buys. So I reckon I'm a very, very big chance, Tubes, of bringing in Keon Kolomatangi into my team this week from Matty Nicholson. I think he could be set to explode.
Yeah, it's a very good case. 570K. Geez, it feels like a good price if he's going to be getting close to 70 minutes in the middle. Yeah, I'll be having a good long look at him. As you say, I don't have Matty Nicholson, but Matty Nicholson to him feels pretty free. He'll get that jewel as well, so assuming he keeps playing prop, which is just handy. And, yeah, I think you found a good one there, Jono. I'll be having a look.
Nice. All right, let's get on the second half of our game reviews, the Dragons versus the Warriors. One that you had as a little black book 3 weeks ago, and he's gone – well, sorry, 2 weeks ago, he's got 100 since. Aaron Clark, Chibs, he had 104, played 65 minutes. He's going to go up 60K this week with a break even still in the 50s. I didn't rubbish it when you said it, but I said I didn't think it was going to be much more than a 620, 630K player. It's looking like I was wrong.
Yeah, well, he's going to be, what, 670K? This week and probably go past 700. Interestingly, the Podfather brought him in this week as a bit of a pod play.
Did he?
I guess. Or,
love, you know, it.
Yeah, he's going pretty well. I think he's top 1,000. He followed me in on Tracy and Kickout, so he's had a good week as well. It's too late for Clark now. I mean, I feel like I say this every week. Well done to owners, but like I can't see how people brought him in, but. Yeah, obviously some smart ones did.
Yeah, 11% of the top 10% either had him from the start of the year and held him or have brought him in over the last few weeks. Lukey Metcalf, he had 60 points with a try and a field goal. Wade Egan, I think there will be people who look at him as a hooking option over the bye period. He had 53 points, 73 minutes. I think the concern is that there's now hookers on the bench. Healy, son of Mitch, came off the bench last week. They had Tamare Martin return this week off the bench. So I think it's not as good as it might look, and I wouldn't be touching Wade Egan while there's a hooker on the bench.
So was Healy and Tamare on the bench or just Tamare
Martin? No. They swapped it. So Healy dropped out late and Tamare Martin came into the squad.
I think that's a good sign for Egan, though. Like, Tamare Martin's not an out-and-out hooker. He's obviously can make an impact in many places, but he's a halves fullback more than he is a hooker. I'm not saying he didn't come on at hooker this week. I'm just saying.
But it's not his natural.
Egan playing 73 minutes. You wouldn't think they're thinking, let's get 20 minutes out of Tamare at hooker.
Yeah. Whereas Healy is a genuine hooker.
Yes.
Fair point.
Sorry, Chips, now you go. Nah, all good. Leika Halasima.
Leika Halasima, our man. He had 44 points in base plus power in 80 minutes. The good news is it means he won't skyrocket. His break even is going to settle around 50. He's actually not going to make any money this week. Means we can take a look. James Fisher-Harris is expected to return next week. So I for one, Tubes, if Fisher-Harris returns and Leika is still playing 80 minutes on an edge with no other, and it's not because of other injuries, I'm jumping on at 450K.
100%. Like, let's wait and see. I think it's going to be one of the most interesting things. I'd love to own him. He's just, I think someone compared him to Eli Katoa, as in when he was coming through at the Warriors. And I think he's a much better player than Eli was when he played for the Warriors. Like, he's just an out and out
more
star.
Consistent.
Eli,
that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eli was like a real high ceiling.
Not now. Not now. I'm not saying he's better now.
No, I get you. No, I get it. Because Eli was like, he's become an all work ethic man, but he wasn't that at the Warriors at all. Whereas Leika is that already, is kind of your point, I guess, with the upside of the attack. For the Dragons, Dylan Egan had 83 points with a try. He was actually moved to the bench before kickoff with Luch back in the starting lineup. I tried to take him out of my team, but I couldn't because I had no one else to swap him out for it. It worked out very nicely. I know a couple of other super coaches who did what I tried to do and brought in the new King of Kogra for his not very good score. So hopefully he can win his job back. Luch led in the first try. Egan did look great when he came on. He's going to have a negative 13 break even, so his price is going to continue to grow and grow. Let's just hope he can win that starting job back, Tubes.
Yeah, I mean, certainly Luciano Leilua letting in the first try just by having been terrible at defense on the edge probably didn't hurt his chances. So, we'll see. The one that's interesting I found from this game, and I know you alluded to him, but is LKT, the new King of Kogra. I thought he looked good from what I saw. Like, I know he only had a 33, but I thought he was one of the Dragons' better players, like, during the game. Didn't look good at the end, like, in terms of getting them downfield for a field goal, and Val was filthy, but I thought he had a good game.
So you're not concerned that 33, you'd still make him a near must-have coming into next week?
I think so, especially... We just need cash. Anyone that doesn't own Teddy needs cash for round 12. So you've got to bank it next week. He's the most obvious way to bank it. I'm not concerned that he'll get dropped. So he's going to make money and he's a nice downgrade option.
Chief, I just want to take it back to one thing you said. It's not defense, it's defense. This is not a American fantasy podcast. Defense. Can you say it for me?
Defense.
What are we going to do next? Start converting the players' prices to US dollars. Chuck a tariff on them.
You remember I went to university in Canada, so that was how we pronounced it there, Jono. Not America. I'm more of a Canadian.
The last three Dragons, I'm just going to quickly mention, Tubes. If at the end you have anything you want to say, go for it. Val Holmes had 76 with an assist, another great week. Origin on the horizon. Gutho, 71 with a try. Lost another 40K, even considering that his break-even is still going to be in the 80. So I think if you sold, you're still very happy. And disappointingly, Toby Couchman had 26 points in 24 minutes. He actually succumbed to the same shoulder injury that we discussed last week on the show. He had some pins and needles. He played through that, but then this week the shoulder was just no good. So he looks like he might be gone for potentially a few weeks as well. Anything, Tubes, or do you want to go on to the Cowboys versus the Panthers?
I mean, the funny thing is you talk about Gutho, and I know everyone's been selling him and he's not that relevant, but does he become relevant again? Like 643K, as you said, he's going to drop. Like he's now going to be sub 600. That what's the Dragons' buy schedule look like? They don't play 12, but they do play 15, 18, and 19. 13, 15, 18, and 19. And over that period, they play the Knights, the Dolphins, Parramatta, Raiders, and Roosters. I don't know. Could be King Gutho's time to shine back over the Origin period.
You're not bringing in King Gutho.
Should have made him my little black book.
That this is just now that your brothers have sold him, that now you're pretending you like him again. You just want to do the opposite to whatever they're doing. He's Tubes, you have Ryan Pappenhausen and you have Scott Drinkwater. You want Teddy. You are not getting Gutho. Let's not waste time on this. There's no chance.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
Not without an injury. All right, Cowboys-Panthers. And speaking of Drinky, he had 117. 3 tons in a row now for Drinky. He had 3 assists. Only 3,000 Supercoaches brought him in this week. I still would have done it at 830K this week because I think his buy period coverage is unbelievable. He misses 12, but then he just plays through the entirety of the thing, doesn't have a buy to around 27. His break-even's in the low 50s, but I think maybe now you actually have missed the boat. I think this was the last week to do it.
I think you still need to get him. Like, find a way. I'd say Teddy over him is in terms of priorities at fullback. He's so involved. That left edge. The thing is like obviously, and we'll talk about Cleary in a minute, who I did captain this week, but Cleary's such a good NRL player and he's playing really well, but he's first or at best second off the ruck all the time. Whereas Scott Drinkwater, when they sweep left and when they sweep right, he's often third off the ruck, which basically is just super coach heaven, like the third sweeping play. He's always getting those assists or tries because he's sort of getting the ball in his hand when they're finishing off the play. And goal kicking, yeah. Like that's basically where the consistency comes from as well.
Yeah, I'd hate the prospect of not owning him. 52% of the top 10% do, and I'd hate to be the other 48%. A couple of ones that we're not probably going to talk about, choose, but went really well. Viliami Vailea, who literally has zero owns in the top 10%. He's a former Tubes pod, had 112 points with a try and a try assist. Jeremiah Nanai, 81 with a try assist. One that we will talk about, Tubes, Jackson Purdue, 85 points. He had an assist, 2 line assists and a line break. He was sold by 19,000 super coaches, most sold player of the round. And now off the back of this 85, he's actually not going to end up losing much cash and his break-even's going to be in the 70s, which feels pretty manageable. Any regrets? Yeah. You sold him this week. Any regrets about that?
I mean, it's a tough one. I sold him to Fletcher Sharp, who I just think has the better run over, including round 12. So I'm not regretting it. Pert is so good, though. I just love watching him play. He's he's a sneaky origin bolter. Like in the squad, 18th man, 19th man. Maybe he gets the number 14 jersey over Dearden. His best position's 5'8".
Yeah, I think there'd need to be an injury, but I've heard even people speculate him over Val. Like as in just getting him in the squad playing.
Don't know about that. But
people are saying let's get onto the Panthers.
It will be now that they've heard it on the Sunday snap.
Into the Panthers. A couple of Panthers are doing a really nice job of fitting into the system finally and looked fantastic on the weekend. They're two biggest scorers. Blaise Talangi had 112 with a try and 4 try assists, and he looked very dangerous on the left with IPAP, Isaiah Papali'i, who had 94 with a try and played out the full 90 minutes. What do you make of those guys, Tubes? Anything there that stood out to you? Are you looking at either of them as options?
So I'll talk about Blaise. I'll talk about IPAP a little bit later.
Fair.
Blaise, I think that he's the beneficiary of Cleary just playing so well. As you said, he fits into that system now. But it feels like now that I'm a Melbourne man, Jono, it's a little bit like in AFL where they tag their best players. Feels like defense just have tags on Cleary now, like they're sending more at him. And And he's when he gets the ball out, like, obviously his outside men are just benefiting from it. Like, it. So Blaze looked very good. He got, what was it, four try assists, and I think two or three of them basically came from Cleary obviously setting it up. But, yeah, he's looking good. I don't know at that price, 560, nearly 600K, whether or not you could bring him in. Feels expensive. I don't know.
Yeah.
No?
I couldn't, not with the other options like Jaden Campbell and LKT available at 5'8". I couldn't do it. I think you could get him in centre wing, but I think there's so many guns there as well.
Yeah, I think I have to let it go for a few more weeks at least, especially with Cleary potentially missing so many games over that Origin period. It doesn't feel like Blaze is going to step up and step into it. Like, I think he's getting the benefit. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Chiefs, let's just quickly talk about Cleary. I don't want to spend heaps long on him, but I just want to hear what's your gut call at the moment. He's definitely missing the next two games. If he doesn't back up from Origin, he's missing 13. He's definitely missing 15. Ivan Cleary has said that he won't back up players from that Perth Origin because they're playing in New Zealand, so he'll miss 16 as well. Just one word, yes or no, you're going to sell him?
I think I will, but I need to find the right person too. As I said, I think you need cash for Teddy. You need to find out ways to do that. So I think I will. I just don't know who to yet.
Well, I'm just going to quickly mention that Jenkins had 40 points in 40 minutes, basically. He scored a try. I think people who – it was a win, even though he was named on the bench this week and came off the bench. Patea had 21 points in 22 minutes. We were advising people, Tubes, not to buy him. I think that has kind of come good with those limited minutes. And that takes me quickly to the man who I think I'll be selling Nathan Cleary for. It's Jerome Hughes, who had 104 with a try and an assist. He looked a lot better to me in terms of him physically and the way he was moving around the field. I think he's the preeminent Cleary downgrade. And I think the price we're going to be able to get him at, Chiefs, I haven't actually looked. He was 607K coming into this week. I haven't looked at what he's projected to be through ball, or I can have a look in a moment. But he's the man I'm getting. I think he's undervalued at that price.
Yeah, I think so. You're probably right. I haven't really had a good look at that Melbourne run because I didn't think that there was. I owned Munster and Pappenhausen, and I don't think Katoa's contingent on the run, so I hadn't really looked at him. But yeah, he's a definite option for sure.
630K he's going to be approximately after this week, depending on where the updates land. So I think that's really good value for Jerome Hughes. To get to the most relevant player, I mean, Pappy, we spoke about him at the top of the show, Tubes. It was a big week of did you captain him, did you not? He had 176 from four tries, 40 points in goals, 49% of the top 10% had the captaincy on him. Cam Munster, first time going
100. Kicked 10 from 11. Kicked 10 from 11, Pappy. Like,
and the one he missed was easy. Did you see the one he missed? It was like an absolute sit-up as well. So it could have easily been, I'm spewing, he could have had 182. What a joke.
I couldn't watch the game. Like, I just knew it was going to be bad. I just couldn't watch it. Like, I had the Ball Alive app open. I'm just like
watching it tick over.
Just watching plus 30. As you said before, 88 after 17 minutes. Yeah, it was fun.
So good. I mean, not for you, but this just your whole face is so good. Cam Munster. That's why I tried to move on, Tubes, just for your sake, because we spoke about him. But I'm glad we got to see that.
Paper. Oh, I couldn't not talk Cam more Munster. About him. Like 10 from 11 is crazy.
So good. Cam Munster at 132. He had a try, three assists that finally weren't all from kicks. It's his first time he's got 100-plus this year. And for once, he actually didn't take the foot off the gas. He wasn't going well when they were killing him early, as in scoring-wise. He was playing well, but he wasn't getting points. Yeah. He actually became a bit of a bully late in the game. Love to see it. Munster finally having a big dig. I think people were going to be looking at trading him out this week and still might be to King Tonga. It might be their only way down to him, potentially. A nice score.
He waited till Pappy scored four and then thought, that's enough. I might get involved here. As well.
Last couple from this game, Eli Katoa had 69 points with a try. Obviously not the basest of games when the score's 64-0. He wasn't exactly having to roll up the sleeves and get through the grind. Terrell May had 70 points, still managed that, 70 points in 74 minutes from a lot of tackles. There is chatter building about him potentially missing Origin as well. I've seen it from a few sources now, people saying he might not be in the right frame. So we'll see what happens there. On to the final game of the round. Sorry, did you have something to say there, Chief? Sorry.
No, I was just going to say that 1% in the top 10% that don't own him might bring him in then.
Yeah, that might be the thing that finally tips him over.
Might be the thing that tips him over.
Final game of the round, the Seagulls versus the Sharkies. You must have been happy to see the Sharkies get up tubes. What did you make of Nico Hines? 90 points with 3 try assists. What did you think?
Yeah, he's back. I think we said it last week, but geez, he looked good again. Just reading the game well, getting his edge back rowers going. It was really nice to see. A bit of a scare. They're up 14-0. The Seagulls came back to 14-all, but then they've kicked on again. 30-14. I think it ended up being
I stuffed that up.
Yeah,
very good. It's good to see
kicked away.
With how much Nico cops it, and I'm a big Nico fan. It's nice to see a team come back and then him actually control the team around well, and get him across that line. A few other Sharkies killed it too. Adam Fanua Blake had 80 with a try in 52 minutes. Maybe the minutes still not as up as you'd like him to be if you're one of the 19% of the top 10% who own him, but you'll take it with a try, which you can score. KL Iro, 76 points with a try, 50-plus in base plus power. And Britton Nikera, 74 points with 60 in base plus power. We've spoken a fair bit about him, Tubes, on the show and about how his base has been down this year. Do you reckon this could be a sign that it's coming back?
Yep. Usually comes back about now. So maybe it's just following the trend. He started a bit slower, but yeah, he's certainly building into it. He looked good again today. He just runs. He's just, like, honestly, there's not a better line runner in the NRL, like, especially as a back rower. I don't know how he does it, but he just looks unbelievable.
Less to talk about from Manly this week, Tubes. Stubby Cooler had 87 points with a double. That Manly right edge, Tubes, you made a really good point to me pre-pod. I'll let you run with that in a moment. Ola Kawadu had 47 points, just didn't take many runs. Garrick had 36. What was your confidence levels going into this game with that Manly right edge?
Yeah, so I felt pretty good. Obviously, they absolutely dominated 2 weeks back before the bye. On that right edge, Ola and Garrick just both went off. I think they both turned up or went pretty close. But I knew this game coming up, KL Iro is one of the best defensive centers in the game. And as we talked about with Viliami Kikau, they run that sort of sweeping play for Ola as well. And there's not that many centers that can stop him, but I think Iro can and did tonight. There was a few plays where credit to Braden Trindle, made an amazing tackle on Garrick that basically saved a try as well. So I think Garrick 36 is just a blessing for non-owners. I think he's still a must-have by round 12 if you don't own him, which I don't, and it just means that we might get him 50K cheaper before that nice buy run. Ola, I think, is the same pending Origin selection.
Garrick going to be available around 650K, so that's pretty nice. Tubes, let's get into our final segment of the week. I did spoil this one earlier. I apologise for that. But tell us, who is your little black book player this week?
Yeah, mine's IPAP. So you sort of mentioned him earlier. He had, 94 with a try. He played the full 90 minutes. Obviously, they had a 10 minutes golden point. He's going to be sitting at around 500K with a break even of 33. Now, the word is that Sorensen's back, isn't it, after round 12, after the bye. I just think, like, probably more just his form. IPAP looks, as the Panthers have come back this year, he's looked better and better. Now, obviously, Sorensen does need to come back, but you've got to remember that Yo and Martin will both play Origin. And whether or not they back up will still be in question, but you definitely get him over those Origin games, and then you'll likely get more minutes from him on the backup. And I think there's just enough time there for him to potentially either cement himself as a left edge, because we've seen Sorensen play through the middle in the past when they've had others on the edge, or he plays edge and middle and his minutes just go up as his fitness has clearly improved, playing 90 minutes on the weekend. He's a known super coach gun, has been up in the 700Ks. If you can pick him up for 500K, it looks like a pretty good option. I feel like this has like been the second rower pod now that I'm talking about IPAP. We've talked about a fair few options. I don't know if I like him as much as Keon Kolomatungi, but yeah, he's certainly worth looking at.
And he's 60K cheaper too. It's really interesting. Britton Nikera, IPAP, yeah, Kolomatungi. We mentioned Piakura as a cheaper version. There's a fair bit of interest in second row forward finally. And with guys like Nicholson and going down, Kant, 18th man, people might have some interesting decisions to make. I really like it. It's going to throw up some variety around the teams, I think.
Billy Hicks, an option.
Yeah, the kicks, he's almost premium levels now, but definitely still an option. Jeez, my little black booker is another back rower who I'm hoping will also be dual very soon. I've got to give a shout out to Danny Boy from the Tuesday pod for this one, because he's put him on the radar. He would have flown by me. Ewan Aitken had 66 in base plus power, playing 80 minutes in the back row on the weekend. He is a big chance of getting dual coming into round 12 because he has played 3 games at centre. He is going to be available for around 507K after coming into this year at around 600K price at a 60 average after playing an 80-minute back row role for the Dolphins last year. I think he's pretty good, Chiefs. If you can pick him up and get him to your centre wing, don't mind having those guys in your squad who you can flip around or who you can play comfortably 80 minutes in the back row and just getting those strong base points. What do you make of him?
Yeah, I don't mind it. And in previous years, we've sort of talked about that as a play, and I know you've had Bo Furmore slot in that position, although he's gone on an absolute tear. I just find it hard this year. Those centre wings just have so much upside. You're sort of getting cheapies and guns. Like, I'm just not sure you want another sort of meat. I mean, he is a meat and potatoes back rower. Like, I know that's good numbers, but I wouldn't say he's super attacking upside. Especially with that sort of those bunnies halves. I don't really quite trust him. I don't think Latrell's throwing a short ball to him. I don't mind him, but like I don't know if he's the type of player that I'm looking for in my team.
I like him. I don't like him as a Bo Furmore owner, but I like him if I didn't own Bo. I think he's too similar to Bo and not as unbelievable as Furmore. But I think I like those guys even more this year, Tubes, because if you've got Dylan Lucas up in your second row forward and you've got another one down in centre wing, I like that versatility to be able to flip them around depending on bye coverage and injuries. So I think because of Dylan, and Dylan Lucas isn't a guy who you have to hold in centre wing. He's so good that you can comfortably keep him in second row forward and play him. Yeah. So I just like the ability to flip him around. That's what makes you and Aitken a bit more interesting to me. I won't do it, but I wanted to chuck it out there for the listeners in case they like that as an option moving forward.
Yeah.
All right, Tubes, that pretty much closes out. Well done. I think that the gusto you've showed this pod, considering you didn't have Kappenhausen today, it's like you did the energy you brought in, so well done. Do you want to give us a bit of a teaser on any merch news, Tubes? Anything in the line, anything in the works there?
A little bit of merch. There's been some designs have been put forward, hopefully only a few weeks away from the snappers and ballers being able to look at just some t-shirts, hoodies, caps. In fact, just let us know on socials, in comments, wherever, if there's anything particular that you're looking for. Designs are currently being approved as we speak, I believe.
Nice. Well, Tubes, you said this week you had a feeling coming into the show it was going to be one of our shortest pods of the year. We're sitting up just around the 70-minute mark. But before we head off, anything else you got for us?
You beauty.